Welcome to Perspectives. I'm Joan Herman. A heads up about today's show. It deals with violent content that is not suitable for young children and may be disturbing for other listeners. I'm referring to the case that has been described as one of the worst child abuse crimes ever committed in Clatsop County. In December 2014, 2-year-old Evangelina Wing was found dead in the seaside apartment she shared with her two brothers, her mother, and her mother's boyfriend. The couple quickly became suspects and were arrested and charged with murdering the girl and seriously injuring her two brothers, who were 2 and 5 years old. Just last week, a Clatsop County jury convicted the boyfriend, Randy Lee Roden, of murder and murder by abuse, among other crimes. He is scheduled to be sentenced on November 21st. The girl's mother, Dorothy Wing, had pleaded guilty to manslaughter in January in exchange for testifying against Roden. She was sentenced last week to more than 15 years in prison. I'm in the studio today with the two prosecutors from the Clatsop County District Attorney's Office who tried the cases against Roden and Wing. They will explain what goes into preparing to bring such a case to trial, as well as what kind of toll it takes on themselves and others involved. Deputy District Attorney Ron Brown prosecuted the case against Randy Lee Roden, while Deputy District Attorney Don Buzzard prosecuted Dorothy Wing. Welcome to the show, Ron and Don.
And just to clarify, we both prosecuted both cases.
Thanks for the clarification, Don. I just provided a very brief synopsis of the crime, but would you fill us in a bit more on the details for listeners who may not be familiar with the case?
Sure, we'd be happy to, Joan. For a period of about 2 months in 2014, the three children were exposed to very abusive behavior by the defendant, Mr. Roden, and from the mother, Dorothy Wing. There were burns, there were bites, there was fractures, there were lacerations, there was just an abundance of injuries to all three of the kids, and Evangelina was basically beaten beyond recognition. She didn't look anything like she had just a few weeks before that. And it all happened in a very short period of time. In fact, it was even less shorter period of time than that. It was about 2 weeks at the end of 2014. When most kids are preparing for Christmas, these kids were being tortured on a daily basis.
Don, would you like to add anything?
You know, I think we got a lot of comments from people, and I've heard a lot of people say, you know, how could a mother do that? And It was really hard trying to understand how Dorothy Wing would allow this guy in her life, but she met him on a web, Plenty of Fish, I think it was,
website,
and then he let him move in, even though she knew he had recently got out of prison for domestic violence stuff. But she let him move in pretty much the night she met him. Really quickly, he was watching her kids. She was actually a pretty hard, industrious worker. She was working a lot, and he was watching the kids. And he started telling her these explanations for things that, you know, wouldn't have added up, I think, to any of us, but she was buying it or went along with it. I don't know what to say. It's hard to get in her mind, but, and it was just, that's the hard part to understand, that how bad these kids looked and how she must have been seeing this. And, you know, and nothing happened until, I mean, she was getting suspicious and she was starting to talk to other people about it and sending pictures out, but no intervention at all.
Joan, the case was so bad that if we hadn't looked at the photographs of Evangelina either at the death scene or in the autopsy, it would shock you again when you looked at the photos. Even though you'd seen the photos maybe 10 times, your memory was working on you so that it was not as traumatic. And every time we would look at those pictures, it was almost re-traumatizing to have to look at those. We saw many hardened police officers and doctors reduced to tears just over describing dealing with these three little kids. And it was very heartbreaking.
Well, that raises the question then, did the children go out in public?
The oldest brother was going to school, but once he started getting some severe injuries about 3 days before Evangelina was murdered, they kept him home. So I don't know that people saw that. Other people saw the little brother with bruises, but there were all these explanations. And Evangelina had a broken arm, and the explanation was that she was running and she fell. So there were all these explanations. So people were seeing them. But as it got worse and worse, Rodin was keeping them at home, wasn't letting other people come into the apartment, made it clear to Dorothy he didn't want other people seeing the kids because they look so bad, and what are they going to think? Told her not to take them to the hospital because what are the doctors going to think? You're going to end up in jail. I'm going to end up in jail. So he started keeping them closeted. And
they used makeup. They applied makeup to the kids' faces when they did go out, just so that they wouldn't look as bad as they did.
What went through your minds when you were first assigned the case?
We need to go after the death penalty on this kind of a case. It's one of the worst child abuse cases, and these are tiny kids that were just being kids, and they were being penalized because of who they were, and it was just wasn't right, and it was done over a period of time. It's one thing to react negatively to kids being kids and do something horrible, but it's another thing altogether to do it in a systematic fashion, and that's pretty much what Mr. Rodin did here, was systematically torture and eventually kill Eva.
Had either of you tried a child abuse case of this magnitude before?
This was definitely the worst one I've ever dealt with. I also prosecuted Jessica Smith, but that's sort of like what Ron was saying. That was, she did this horrible thing, killed her child, but there wasn't really signs of it, repeated abuse. There might have been some emotional stuff going on, but I had never seen anything like this. I don't know about Ron.
No, this is the worst I've seen.
We do deal with a lot of child abuse and sex abuse. We probably do the majority of it in our office, but this is nothing like this.
No, it's a heartbreaking case. It really is. It's not something that you're ever going to forget.
What is the first step when you are given such a case?
Well, it's interesting when you say given, because what happens is a major crime team gets called out. And so in this case, I responded, and then it's just about a 48 hours kind of straight, just dealing with trying to make sure all your T's get crossed and I's get dotted, and going to the autopsy. And then we just had regular meetings. Ron's been pretty instrumental, I think, in making our major crime team pretty well-run, and we work well together. So we have regular meetings anyway on Wednesdays with the detectives, and so we just ended up...
On major cases like this, you got to hit the ground running with the cops, and because they need legal assistance, and they need search warrants, they need other kinds of legal paperwork, and so it's always important that a prosecutor be working with the police from day one. And you'll end up sometimes having two or three meetings a day, just regrouping and figuring out what next needs to happen as you find out more about the case. So it's always important that the lawyers be involved in the case early on to assist the cops, and to also know the case better.
So am I correct in understanding that you would visit the crime scene immediately?
Yeah,
Dawn lives down that way, and so she went directly there, and she was involved in it from day one.
How do you prepare yourself for that, especially when the murder involves a young child?
Yeah, I wasn't, there is no really preparing, because you get the call and then you go. And it was a Saturday, and I have a daughter who was 12 at the time, and I told her, I'm just going to be gone for a little bit. And then, and I had to go back and kind of check on her, because I ended up, being gone. I took her to my sister's, but there is no preparing. And you just, I think one of the things that really helped me is that our major crime team in our county is so, really work so well together. So there was nobody saying, no, I can't do that, I'm not going to do that, that's too much work. Everybody was, what can I do next? And even the police officers who weren't on the major crime team, if something else needed to be done, people were jumping to it. And the workers and our coworkers too were, everybody just jumps in and helps. So I think that really makes it much easier, or as easier, not easier, but easy as it can be.
Okay. Don, would you like to, or Ron, excuse me, would you like to add anything to that?
No, just to expand a little bit, in a lot of counties, one agency will be assigned the task of investigating something like this, and sometimes they don't get all the detectives in the county out. We have, as Dawn said, we have a very well-coordinated major crime team with some extremely experienced detectives, and they did a very good job. Sergeant Jason Gooding was the lead of the major crime team, and he did an extremely good job.
And that's the late Jason Gooding?
Correct. Yes, and that was one of the hardest things about the case, in addition to all the trauma to the kids, was just dealing with the loss of Jason. And we had to keep playing interviews of Jason interviewing Roden and Wing, and it was just kind of hard to forget about the tragedy of Jason when we were dealing with seeing him working live. And so that was hard. That was a hard thing, too. But our major crime team primarily did such a good job of investigating the case. Then our job after that is trying to pull it all together. We probably had 10 or 12 three-ring binders worth of police reports that had been accumulated by all these detectives over a period of months. And so then it's up to Dawn and I to synthesize all of that and to make a list of all the potential witnesses and then start sorting through and weeding out ones that are insignificant, ones that are significant, and then putting in them in a proper order, putting it in an understandable form to the trier of fact, to the jury.
And if I may add just one thing, we also have kind of a secret weapon in our county, because we have Dr. Giuliani, who's our medical examiner, but she's also part of the major crime team, and there's a lot of medical there were a lot of medical reports, and she was there every time we had talking to a doctor or explaining things. So I think, and right from the beginning, so I think we're really fortunate, because I don't think every county has somebody like that.
No, not at all. Not at all. We are very gifted.
Do you have any idea how many hours you've put into working on the case?
No, it's been a lot. It's been a lot. And we don't get paid overtime. We're on salary, so we just have to work whatever number of hours that it takes.
Well, and obviously you would earn a lot more as private attorneys, defense lawyers. So why are you prosecutors?
We sleep well at night most of the time, unless you have horror stories of something. But we feel like we're the good guys, and we wear the white hats all the time. And I like putting bad guys away, and I like helping victims.
And we have a lot of discretion, because if we see a case that does, if we don't, we get a case from the police and we think, well, no, this doesn't seem right to us, we can ask for follow-up. We work with the police to, and if, you know, so we don't proceed if we don't think there's a proof to show that someone's guilty. So it's nice to be able to have that kind of control. So it's really, you know, prosecuting people that we know are guilty, in my opinion. So it's nice to have that kind of a...
Okay, great.
Base.
Well, let's take a short break. If you are just joining me, I'm in the studio with prosecutors Ron Brown and Don Buzzard from the Clatsop County District Attorney's Office. They are discussing the case against Randy Lee Roden and Dorothy Wing. Roden was convicted last week of murdering Wing's 2-year-old daughter, Evangelina, in December 2014. Dorothy Wing pleaded guilty to manslaughter last January. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to our discussion with Ron Brown and Don Buzzard of the Clatsop County District Attorney's Office. They were the prosecutors in what some have described as one of the worst cases of child abuse in the county. This show deals with violent subject matter that is not suitable for young children and may be disturbing for other listeners. Ron, you were mentioning a moment ago that if ever there were a case that deserved the death penalty, it was this one. And the defendant was charged with aggravated murder initially, and he was tried on that case, and the jury declined to convict him of that charge. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that they may have had a hard time finding that the injuries, the traumatic head injury to Eva that was the thing that led to her death was intentional versus reckless. Sometimes when you look at the seriousness of an injury, if there's a skull fracture, there's actually a broken skull, you can see that there's so much force involved that there had to have been a specific intent to do it. The medical examiner said that the amount of force that was required to cause the injury to Eva may have not been something intentionally done to cause her death. So I certainly could understand why the jury went the way they did. The reason I said that we thought that we'd go after the death penalty is we believe that a very substantial penalty needs to be paid for what we saw was the horrible loss to the community. And we still intend to get a very substantial sentence out of Mr. Roden. And we really want to thank the jury for their work, because they were troopers to the end. They really showed their patriotic duty. Anytime that you're on a jury trial, it's very difficult, and especially when it involves child physical or sexual abuse, and particularly with a homicide. And we appreciate all the time that they devoted to it, and we respect their verdict. And we certainly wish to thank them for all their time.
Was any counseling made available to them?
Yes, sir. Yes, there was.
And some of them took the county up on that.
Yes,
I
that's correct.
Uh-huh. Okay. And I know that Dorothy Wing pleaded guilty to manslaughter and was sentenced to a term of 15 plus years.
Right. She also pled to two counts of criminal mistreatment in the first degree.
For the two boys.
Yeah.
She was originally charged with murder, wasn't she?
And correct. And
explain why that charge was changed.
Well, she was willing to be willing to plead guilty. Mr. Roden was only willing to plead to manslaughter the very last week before trial. So Mr. Roden was not even interested in any plea bargains throughout the course of his case, whereas Ms. Wing was you could tell that she felt bad about what had happened to some degree and was remorseful to some degree. And so that's why we spent two full days asking her a lot of questions with her attorney present. That's called a proffer, in order to determine how deep her contrition was and whether or not she would be a decent witness. Frankly, there's no amount of time. If you do this kind of thing to a child, and whether you're convicted of manslaughter, whether you're convicted of murder, whether you're convicted of aggravated murder, there's really no amount of time, as far as I'm concerned, that is worthy of that kind of behavior. You can't put a person away. There's no place hot enough in hell for a person like that.
Dawn, anything to add?
No, I just say Ron said it perfectly.
Are you satisfied with the outcome of both cases?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Explain why her testimony was crucial to convicting Roden.
I don't even know if it was crucial because Roden put himself in his interviews, it made it very clear he was the one watching the children when all these injuries, kind of bizarre injuries, started happening with these explanations that made no sense, burns that didn't correspond with the burns the child actually had, and breaks that didn't make sense. And
I argued to the jury in closing argument not to hang their hat on anything that Dorothy Wing said, because she had every reason to lie. And she had lied. She had lied throughout. They had a party line about how all the injuries had happened, and she just followed suit with Roden. So she wasn't instrumental in the conviction of Roden.
Okay. So her sentence wasn't shorter because she testified?
It was shortened just because she was willing to plead guilty, and we believe that she was not the active participant in the majority of the abuse.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. Have you heard from many people in the community about the sentences? The convictions?
Yes, quite a few. Yeah, everybody seems to be quite pleased with it.
Yes.
Great.
As are we.
Okay. I've read a few comments on social media that she should have received more of a longer sentence.
Well, you know, that you'll always find that whenever the, you know, people will argue with the type of charges and whether they were appropriate. They'll argue with whether or not something was an appropriate plea bargain. And that's valid criticism. People can come down and talk to us about our cases anytime they want to. But we believe that we got the maximum amount of time out of both of those two defendants that should have been gotten at them.
Yeah, it's easy to second guess unless you're in the courtroom.
Exactly.
What has happened to the two boys?
They are about to be adopted in a really loving, wonderful home. couldn't be a better home for them. So we're all very grateful for that.
They've been flourishing ever since they were taken out of the home, basically, starting in foster care here in Clatsop County and then in their new adoptive home.
And how old are they now?
They are 7 and
4.
4, almost 4. Patrick will be 4 just a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And do you know if they're receiving any special care counseling?
They are.
They are. Great. Okay.
The boys will frankly, they'll live their whole lives with the trauma that this is incurred upon them, and it's going to be very tough for the adoptive parents because those boys are anybody that would go through something like this and just to see what they saw are going to be horribly damaged for a long time, permanently.
Why do these cases occur?
I don't know. We get so many child abuse cases and sex abuse cases, and you know, I think maybe we just need to talk about it more. That's the only thing I can think of. I mean, I think we need to. A lot of people said that, you know, wish they had spoken up, wish they had said something. So let's just all start. If you see something, speak up. That's, you know.
Well, I got a problem with these websites, these kind of dating website things, because Roden was actually, he was interested in a single mother with kids. This was the second relationship that he was in after being released from prison, and he wasn't supposed to be in any kind of an intimate relationship at all. And he kept lying to his probation officer that he wasn't in any kind of an intimate relationship. So to some extent, by engaging in a website sort of thing and meeting people rather anonymously that way, it allows them to groom you, basically, and for them to take advantage of you and your kids. So I think it's extremely important that anybody that subscribes to one of those websites is extremely careful, particularly when they have children, about who they're exposing their kids to.
Do you think he was doing that to deliberately stalk young children?
I do.
He could abuse?
I think he enjoyed hurting children.
Yes.
Now, was he originally charged with sexually abusing the girl?
Yes.
He was, but that charge was later dismissed or dropped.
No, he was acquitted of those charges.
Okay.
Yeah, that was part of the acquittal of the charges. There was a lot of different testimony from the experts about what the damage was to her hymen, and there was but yes, he was in fact charged with those.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that you've heard from some people saying, I wish I'd come forward and said something. Are you referring to this case or other cases?
This case. Yeah, many people
something.
That were around the boys, and you know, this your mind just kind of works that way. You feel a little bit guilty because you saw them during the period of time in question, and there was something suspicious, but you're too busy, or you don't want to get involved, or you don't want to butt in, or whatever it is. And I think it's important that anybody that sees things reports them, because small things can make a big difference.
And what's the best way? Go ahead, Dawn.
Oh, I was going to say, and we actually talk to people about lawyers are mandatory reporters, school teachers are mandatory reporters, nurses, but everybody can report. So it's not, you know, it's just because you may not be a mandatory reporter, you can still call DHS. You just have to have a reasonable belief and that something's concerning for abuse or neglect. And I just wish that if people had that concern that, you know, that there are steps you can take. And
If you see bruises on kids in places where they shouldn't have bruises, then you should try to contact the Department of Human Services or your local police department.
Now, as I mentioned at the top of the show, you both have children. What do you do after a long case like this? The trial went on for 6 weeks. 6 weeks, is that right?
Yes.
You
hug your kids.
Yeah.
You go home and you hug your kid. No matter how old your kids are, you go home and you hug your kids. And just appreciate every second that they're around.
And I planned a trip with my daughter, and we're going to Japan over Christmas break. So
you can go to Japan.
Yeah. But we were working weekends and nights, and it just not, and I'm a single parent, so I'm not really seeing her as much as I wanted to. So knowing that we have something lovely to look forward to helps. But I agree with the hugging.
What cases do you have coming up in the future?
More sex abuse, mostly. As Dawn said, she and I handle most of the sex abuse cases, and so that's primarily what we'll be dealing with.
So, still want to get back to that big question of why is this occurring? What do you attribute it to? abuse by the abuser when he was a child. Not to blame the parents, but
no, I don't.
No, Roden specifically said that there was nothing abusive about his childhood. There wasn't that he said he had a good childhood, so that doesn't explain it at all. I think he's just a bad seed.
I think we go to a lot of conferences on child abuse, and they also talk about domestic violence. I think it's very similar. It's people do that because they can get away with it, and so that's we have to stand up and say no, it's not okay. And I think that's why it happens, because some people like that power. And they can do it. And so I just think we just need to stand up and, you know, anytime we see it, say, no, that's not okay, and try to help people who we think are in trouble. And
yeah, we have a lot of local resources, so it's not hard to find help if a person wants to get help with a domestic violence issue or potentially sex abuse or physical abuse in a home.
And I think there's also this shame that kind of surrounds particularly sex abuse. Still, that so many people are reluctant to. Many people probably, can't put a percentage on it, but don't report when they're first abused, and they're afraid, ashamed, they don't really understand what's happened to them, depending how young they are. So, I think that we just need to keep talking about it and let people know that there are resources that they're not to blame for any kind of abuse they're suffering, and to know that it is abuse, and, you know, get them the help they need. But we just need to take that stigma away from it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Any closing thoughts?
Well, I just want to thank every police officer that worked on that case. I want to thank every single juror that was involved in the case. I want to thank Judge Brownhill. I want to thank Dawn Buzzard and everybody that works in our office, because it takes every single person in order to put a bad guy like this away.
Dawn?
Oh, I couldn't say it better than that. I agree.
Well, unfortunately, we are out of time. Thank you, Ron and Dawn, for coming into the station today.
Thanks for
inviting us. Thank you very much.
Ron Brown and Dawn Buzzard are deputy DAs in the Clatsop County District Attorney's Office. They successfully prosecuted what has been called one of the worst child abuse cases in the county's history. Thanks to Station News Director Kate Brister for engineering the show. I hope you can join me, Joan Herman, in 2 weeks for the next installment of Perspectives on Coast Community Radio.